This is the Generation Example Podcast.
So, can you guys figure out what the topic's about today? Love, that's right. Love was the, your guys's, this was really high up there when it came to topics, right? You guys, a lot of you really wanted to know more about this topic of love. So what I'm asking you guys to do right now is pull out your cell phones. Everybody pull out your cell phones, turn them on, and you can hold them up if you want. And what I want you guys to do is, remember, so this is a random number, remember? We're not checking who sent these in, right? Nobody's back there trying to figure out who sent what in. We don't care who sends the text message in. We just want a question. And I know a lot of you guys have questions about what does it mean to love somebody, or what does the Bible mean about love, or whatever your question is when it comes to love. We want to try to see if we can answer that for you. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to go ahead and text it. If you still don't want to text one in, use the person's cell phone next to you and use theirs. That way they really don't know whose it is. And go ahead and just send the text message in. While you guys are doing that, I'm going to give you guys my little 2 cents on love, okay? So I'm just going to talk for a couple minutes, and then we'll bring up our panel, and we'll be able to really get into this. So here's my two cents on the topic. The main problem with our culture in understanding the topic of love boils down to this. Modern day, if you go look in a dictionary, right, the modern day dictionary definition of love is completely different than how the Bible defines love. So I think we grow up in a culture, I'm just being honest, I think we grow up in a culture being told by the media, maybe even being taught in schools, being taught what does it mean to be in love, or what is love all about. And let me just read you guys real quick. Let me read you guys. This is dictionary.com. There is not .com. This is dictionary.com. And I just went on there and love defined. What is it? Let me read it to you guys. Right? It says, a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. A feeling of warm, personal attachment or deep affection, as for a parent, child, or a friend, sexual passion or desire, a person toward whom love is felt, beloved person, sweetheart, right? That's the whole definition, right? And if you look at that, what are they communicating, right? They're communicating that love is a feeling. Love is something you feel. Love is an affection that is felt. Love is this warm and fuzzy thing that you feel towards other people. Now, that may be part of what love is about in the biblical definition, but the Bible explains it a little bit different. Let me give you guys a biblical definition of love. Right? And real quick, the problem with love is a feeling. Here, I'm just going to explain to you a problem real quick. The problem is I don't know how you guys are, but my feelings change rather dramatically throughout the day, right? You know what I mean? Even with my kids, I mean, at one point I love them, right? And then they write all over the walls when I tell them not to, and then I freaking hate them, right? Right? And I want to strangle them, right? At one point I love, you know what I mean? I love somebody, but then I feel like, oh, I don't love you anymore, right? Our feelings are like this. Ooh, oh, I love you. Oh, you just made me really mad. Oh, I love you again. Oh, you just did something stupid. Oh, right? Just up and down, right? And so if that's your only thing to go off, right, then your love for people, for God, for everything is always like this. Oh, I love them. I hate them. I love them. I hate them, right? And it's always just based off of feelings. But the Bible wants us to have more of a better understanding of what love is all about. Let me read you guys a biblical definition of love. And I love this. This is 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read the entire chapter to you guys, because this is called the love chapter in the Bible. And I want you guys to listen as I read it, and you guys pull out what you think love is all about. Chapter 13 says this: if I speak in human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a changing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am anything. Love is the most important thing, it says. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. He starts off by saying, look, if you have all the special powers in the world, if you can serve the homeless, if you can give all your money to the poor, if you take care of your family and you're taking care of babies on the street and you're helping old ladies across the street and you're walking ladies to their cars and you're being nice to your teacher and bringing her apples, and if you're being friends with the kids at school who nobody likes, if you're doing all of that, right? But you're not doing it with love, right? Then it's all for nothing. So it starts off by saying love is really important. And then he goes on to define love. He says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Right? And we get a sense there that love, you know, it's not about how you feel, but it's how you choose to act in spite of those feelings. Love is not a feeling, but it's how you choose to act in spite of those feelings. I mean, there's a lot of times, man, when people piss me off, people make me really mad, right? But how do I choose to act in spite of being really mad, right? Jesus says, you know, you love your family, that's good. We all love our family, but how do you treat those who hate you? How do you treat your enemies? How do you love them, right? Choosing to act in a way that's loving even though they treat you poorly. So the biblical definition of love is its action. It's not a feeling. It's always choosing to be loving. It's always choosing not to do the evil thing. It's always choosing not to be prideful. It's choosing to be patient. It's choosing to be sacrificial. It's choosing, right? God is calling us to choose to love our parents, even though they may have done something that really wrong against us. God is calling us to choose to love our siblings, even though they steal our clothes out of the closet and steal money out of our wallets, right? Or do stupid stuff, right? God is calling us to choose to love our teachers, our family members, the people at school that pick on us, the people at school that treat us poorly, right? So the first thing is God defines love as a choice. The second thing, right, is God commands us to love. Right? God commands us to love God. You guys all know the verse, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. God commands men to love their wives. God commands us to love our enemies. God commands us to love our neighbors, right? And so he's not calling us to have warm, fuzzy feelings about all those people. You get what I'm saying? He's calling us to choose to act in a way that's loving, according to the definition, towards all those people, even though maybe we don't feel like loving them. I'll tell you what, when you get into a relationship like a marriage relationship, ask anybody who's been married any amount of time, they always don't feel like they love their spouse, right? You have a lot of hard times when you're in a close relationship like that. But the cool thing that God is calling us to do is, even though we don't feel like it, we are going to choose to love one another. Right? And why is God commanding us to do this? Well, it's simple. This is how God first loved us. Right? Think about the Bible verse. Even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. Right? Even though we aren't perfect, even though we do things that make him really angry, even though we're living a lifestyle, dishonoring our parents, choosing to do things outside of his will, choosing to go to parties and do things that you know he doesn't like, choosing to have relationships with the opposite sex that we know aren't pleasing to him, even though we've done all of that to him, you think that makes God feel really good? Absolutely not. It makes him feel really, really bad. But God chose to love us even though he didn't feel like it. And how did he love us? He chose to give his son for us. He chose to sacrifice his son so that all of us can be in a relationship with God, right? So God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he's calling us to demonstrate that same love to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our classmates, to our neighbors, to the person sitting right next to you right now. God is calling you, all of us, to love. So that's my little 2 cents on love. Now, we got a couple of people that are going to come up. You guys all get your text messages in, right? Feel free, even if during this whole thing you get another question, go ahead and shoot it back and we can still throw it up, right? I'm going to invite up our panel guests. So the first two I'm going to invite up are Jesse and Pally Cottenham. So let's give them a hand. Jesse and Pally, come on up. Jesse and Pally, come on. Jesse and Pally have been married for
34 years.
Woo! Let's give it up for 34. The next panel guests are going to be, you guys give it up for my wife, Jenny Thomas. Come on up, Jenny. Woo! Jenny's coming up. So me and Jenny are going to be on this panel. So I thought it would be fun when we talk about love to get people who have been married a really long time and get people who have been married not so long, right? And so what we're going to do is we're all going to be up here. We've been married for 8 years. It's still kind of a long time though, right? Our goal is 35 years. What's that? My goal and beyond. All right, Buzz Lightyear. Okay. So you guys want to share, introduce yourself real quick, or do you want to just get right into it? Right? Pally, why don't you introduce?
Because Pally's not. You guys don't see me a lot, yeah. Right? So I introduced myself to a few people, and I said, my name's Pally. They said, okay. I said, I'm Uncle Jesse's wife. Oh! So I'm Uncle Jesse's wife. We are high school sweethearts.
Aww.
We met in high school. Just about you guys' age. I think we met, I was a sophomore, he was a senior. That was when sophomores, high school started at sophomore. High school didn't start at ninth grade, started at 10th grade. We grew up in the same community. We have 2 children, 32-year-old daughter who's married, been married about a year, and all this jazz. Oh, yeah, they'll be 28. Chaz and Grace will be 28 next week, and they've been married for 5 years, and they have 1 little girl, 2 and a half. What else? That's enough for now.
Okay, you guys know me. Let me give you a little clue. I was 17 when I met my wife, and we actually dated 4 years before we got married. 4 years. Okay, so we got married very, very, very young. Okay, so when we talk about love, we know what we're talking about. Let's put it that way. Okay?
I'm going to share a little bit of how me and Daniel met. So I was saved, like, let's say 9 years. I think I was walking with God, and at that point I had just been praying for a husband, because when I wasn't a Christian, I used to pick guys and they weren't very good choices. So when I gave my life to the Lord, I started praying, and other people were praying, especially my mom, and we're praying for God to bring me, I was praying specifically that God would bring me a strong but sensitive guy, and I was praying those words very specific to the Lord, okay? And so one of my good friends was going to church with Daniel, and she calls me up out of the blue, and she goes, Jenny, I have this guy you have to meet. And I thought, oh my gosh, oh, I don't know, you know? And she goes, well, let me just explain him to you. He's a strong but sensitive man. And like my mouth like dropped to the ground. I was like, Lord, you're so funny. And so I knew that I was probably going to meet my husband. So everybody, I told, you know, the lady who was discipling me, and everybody was praying. I told my mom. And so I went to go meet Daniel at my friend's house, and she kind of hooked it up. So I showed up there, and we just started talking about the Lord, and everything was about Jesus, and it was so cool. And anyhow, so he was that strong and sensitive guy. I didn't see his muscles yet, but that was later on until we got married, and I didn't really know how strong he was. But the Lord, the Lord, you know, he answered my,
Hey, get your mind out of the gutter back there.
The Lord answered that prayer. So anyway, so we got married 7 months later, you guys. Okay, so we fasted and prayed and asked the Lord if we were to, you know, walk this out. And so the Lord, we felt like the Lord was saying yes. And so we continued to, you know, talk to each other and court each other and stuff. And so we got married 7 months later. So that's our story.
Yeah. And that's our story. So I don't really have anything else to say. Except I love my wife. So we're going to do some questions. So are you back there, Charles? What are you doing? Are you tying your shoe? So are you ready? How many we got? Do we got a... Nice. Okay. So first question is... Here we go. First question. I'll just read it and then you guys can pick who you guys want to answer it. How do you know when you truly love someone or something?
Oh, want me to take it. Okay, she wants me to tell you the story about when I first saw her. Okay, let me set this up for you guys. I actually knew her sister, who's older than her, and I never knew her. So me and her sister actually went to school together. She's a year younger than me, but I knew her in junior high school. So I'm at a basketball game, and it's actually a championship basketball game in high school. She walks into the gym with a guy that I knew, that I grew up with. Now, I'm not going to say it, but dude was kind of nerdy. I'm just saying it, okay? But she was with him. And when I saw her, I said, what is he doing with her? And this is a statement that I truly said to myself. I said, she looks like she should be my woman. That's what I said. Now, I said this to myself, and then it was actually a year later that she came to my high school, and I went, oh, that's her. And, you know, just out of the clear blue random. Now, when she came, I didn't just leap on her. I played it cool. You know, I was a player, you know, so I sat back, you know. But when we did talk, when I actually did start talking to her, it was like amazing that in the back of my mind, I knew she was going to be my wife. Now, it wasn't love at first sight. Listen to what I'm saying. But there's something that when I first saw her that clicked, and when I saw her again, it clicked again. Okay, in those 4 years that we dated, we did break up once. So you think you're in love, but you're not sure. And it's not until you go through some adversity that you really know you're in love. Okay, y'all feel what I'm saying? How do you know? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me answer it. So how do you know? So the story he told about when he saw me, I saw him too. But I was looking at him like, why is he looking at me? Who is that? He's weird. Just stand, whatever, right? And then when I saw him again, I didn't even remember that he was the one who was staring at me. So there was no feeling whatsoever. Sorry. I'm sorry. but... After we got to talking to each other and got to know each other, you know, then things started clicking. But was it love at first sight? No. How do you know? There's no magic formula. There's no, oh, I felt this, so I must be in love. Oh, he did that, so I must be in love. Oh, we did that. It's a growth process. It's really a growth process. And it continues to grow even after 34 years. It continues to grow.
Yeah, let me add to that too. Like I said earlier, I think this notion that, you know, you meet somebody and you have these overwhelming feelings of like love and that's the one for you and you're real romantic, it's kind of, that's kind of Hollywood's version of love. And I think the real world doesn't work like that. Like I said earlier, love isn't a feeling, it's a choice. The question isn't, I love this person so I'm going to marry him. The question is, Are you going to continue to choose to love that person while you guys are married and experience difficulties? Because the reality is every one of you, when you get married, marriage is not easy. The things you see on soap opera, the things you see when you watch the movies, you know, when the guy rescues the princess and they fall in love or whatever, all that stuff, it's all lies and it's all garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, the reality is some of you might get married and your wife's going to get paralyzed in a car accident maybe, and are you going to continue to love her even though she's paralyzed? I mean, these situations happen all the time. I think when we're talking about evaluating, do you love someone or something, the question isn't, you know, how do you know when you feel like you're in love? You know, let's talk about a relationship. It's, is this person, you got to have qualifications. Is this person the right person for you? You know what I mean? And a lot of that isn't so much how you feel. It's just using your brain and thinking about it. Are you guys equally yoked? Are they a believer? Do they love Jesus as much as you do? How is their family? Are they all jacked up? Do they have addictions? You got to consider all this stuff and realizing, is this going to be a compatible person for you? And then are you going to choose to love them despite your differences and your hardships, is really the way I would rephrase it. Did you want?
You said everything.
Okay, I said everything.
But I did want to say, we kind of had a similar experience as Pally and Jesse. So, you know, when I wasn't a Christian, like when you see somebody, you're attracted to them, right? Like you pick somebody. Oh, I think he's cute, so I want to date him. And when I met Daniel, it was the exact same thing. I was attracted to him, but that wasn't like, I didn't look at him and go, oh yeah, he's so cute. Like I didn't even think about that, honestly. And I know he felt the same way about me. Like he didn't really think I was that cute. Like it just wasn't. Is that weird? It's so weird because when I wasn't a Christian, that's weird, right? I wanted to date someone who was really cute. So it was different. And so, you know, so many people would tell me, oh, you know, wait on God's timing, you'll know. And I'm like, how are you going to know? And it's so true. I can't really put it into words, but it's like you just know, like, the Lord just gives you peace and you know, like, are they a Christian, right? Can they lead me? You start, you know, lining up all these things with the word and you're like, okay, you know, this can work out. So that's kind of how you know you're, okay, I could see this guy marrying me, right? And then you know that you're in love.
Where is the division between love and like? Where is the division between love and like? So basically, what is the difference of love and like? Love and like. Anybody want to take that?
When you like something, you get tired of it after a while.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
When you love somebody, you never stop. That's simple.
Okay.
So the big difference between love and like is conditional. Love is unconditional. When you like somebody, it's because they're doing something for you or you're receiving something. When you love somebody, it's what you want to do for them, always.
When my son and daughter-in-law were getting ready to get married, they came to us to say, you know, we want to get married. And we said, why? And one of the quick answers that my son said was, because even when she makes me crazy, does things all outside of what she's supposed to be doing, I still want to be with her. Okay, so it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter if you have a physical attraction, it doesn't matter. It's just always wanting to be there with that person, because not because of what they do or what they give, but because you just have a deep affection for that person.
If love is an action and not a feeling, is it okay to use love outside of a romantic context?
Okay. Don't get confused with arousement or excitement in love. Let me tell you a big mistake that's made. And it's not an age thing. Old people do it too. They confuse sex with love because you excite me. I'm in love with you. No. So it's not based on that. Real love, let me put it to you this way. when you have children, when you have a grandbaby, like I got a grandbaby right now, and my grandbaby is absolutely crazy about her granddaddy, and I am totally crazy about her, and it's different. Listen to what I'm saying. I can come in her house, and the first thing she does is grabs me by the hand and says, "Come on, Papa. Papa, let's go play. Papa, you sit down right here." She can call my wife. She called my wife last week on the phone, and she says, "Hi, Lola," because that's what she calls my wife. That's Tagalog for grandma. She says, "Hello, Lola." She says, "Hi, Nia. What are you doing?" She says, "Where's Papa?" She said, "Papa's at work." She said, "Okay, bye." It has nothing to do with a romantic feeling. Listen to what I'm saying. It has nothing. Don't get confused because you're romantically excited that you think that that is the ever-loving, dying love. That's not it. That is not it. Being excited is one thing. You don't gotta love nobody to be excited. Am I right? Come on, y'all. Am I right? But when you love somebody, romance, you don't have to have it to be in love with somebody. And God tells you guys, and we y'all sit here and we tell you week after week after week after week, save it until you get married. God says to save it until you get married. You know why? Because if you don't, you won't know if you really love that person. You don't give love a chance to build up, to become something beyond the romantic feelings. Because after a while, you're going to get old and you ain't going to be able to do what you did when you was young. You're going to stop loving your wife? Or somebody gets in a car wreck. You're going to stop loving them? You're not going to stop what? You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with it. You got to keep those two separate.
I think it's important to remember. I think you can use the word love outside of the romantic context. For example, if you say, I know we always say, I love pizza, I love grilled cheese. I mean, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with saying that. All you're really saying is I really, really like something. It's a way of accentuating, you know, what you're trying to say, you know. But like exactly what Uncle Jesse said, realize that love is, love isn't just a feeling, but it's an action. And it's not just meant to be a way of describing something romantically. In the Greek word for love in the Bible, there's like four different words for love. We only have one. But one of them is the word eros, right? And eros is where we get our root word for erotic, right? And eros is the word for like kind of that erotic love or that sexual love. There's also another one that's pornania, where we get the word for porn, right? So there's these different words for love that we use. Well, the word that the Bible uses to describe God's love for us is a word called agape. And this word has nothing to do with sexual love, eros, or pornia. It has everything to do with an unconditional love that God has for us. It's very much the love between two friends, the love between a mother and a child. That's this agape love, the love that God has for us. And so we want to remember that, you know, although we may say I love this person or that person, the reality is, you know, we only have one word that describes all this different stuff. So just be aware of what you're saying and what you're trying to communicate. And when when we throw this word of love around a lot, the real meaning could get lost. What should you do when you don't think about loving your enemies? What should you do when you don't think about loving your enemies? Good question. So the question is what do you do when you just don't think about it? So you know you're supposed to, but it just doesn't come to your mind. What do you guys think?
I think, you know, in this context, when you talk about loving your enemies, you know, I don't think the Bible's talking about necessarily loving them like you love your husband or your wife. It's a whole different thing. It's more like, I don't wish anything bad on anybody. You know, there are people you don't like. There are people at work that I just don't like for whatever reason, whether they're, it's not because they're safe, because they just, their intentions aren't right or they're mean or whatever, but I don't wish bad on them. I don't wish any harm to them. I wish well for them, just stay out of my way. But you know, I think that's what you talk, that's what it's meaning is you just have a, you don't wish harm on anybody.
Anthony, you play football. You really trying to get to that quarterback, knock that running back down, right? But you're not trying to hurt him. You're trying to hit him hard, but you're not trying to hurt him. You guys see the difference? When you love your neighbor, you're not trying to hurt them. That don't mean you got to hang with them, and that don't mean you, you know what I mean? But you're not sitting there going, you know something, I wish he'd get hit by a bus. You don't do that, because what you wish on them is exactly what you wish upon yourself. That's it. Bible says love your enemy. It didn't say you had to like them, didn't say you had to hang with them, didn't have to say they had to be your best friend, but you don't wish to hurt them. That's the difference. Okay?
All right. Charles, next question. What are the boundaries of love? What are the boundaries of love? That's kind of a vague question. So any of you guys just want to shoot it and try to figure it out? The boundaries? Babe, you want to try?
Well, just what comes to me when I think about that, like, I guess if you, you know, like when I met Daniel, like, okay, when we were courting, like I knew that I loved him, right? But also I had to remember during that courting time, the Bible says, do not arouse or awaken love until appointed time. And so I knew I kind of had to, we had boundaries when we were courting, even though we really wanted to be together, like we knew we couldn't, like, you know, cuddle too long or hug too long and spend a lot of alone time together because it would tempt us, right? So we had to have boundaries in that until we got married, you know, like we're not going to go, we couldn't like lay in bed together, you know, and like cuddle and stuff because you know where that's going to lead. So we had to have boundaries with that. So there's just a proper time for that kind of love for when you're married than when you're courting. Does that make sense?
Gentlemen, this is important. Boundaries in love means you never do anything that would disrespect or dishonor her. Listen to what I'm saying. And I'm a daddy, so if I caught you in the bedroom with my, you might come away with missing part. If a mama caught you, you might come away with a missing part. I'm serious. I'm serious. It's to be honorable. Those are the boundaries. Y'all feel what I'm saying? Ladies, there are boundaries. Do not put that guy in a tempting situation by what you wear. How you, come on, I'm serious. I'm being honest. Those are boundaries that you need to respect.
Charles, how many more we got? A lot more. Okay, well, let's take them fast then. Well, we got a lot more. We'll just kind of shoot through these. Next one. How does envy, you guys are all getting all definitions and theological on me. How does envy relate to love? Envy relate to love. Anybody want to take that one?
When you're envious, do you love something? Come on, shout it out. If I'm envious of something, do I love it? What are you? You're jealous. Love has no jealousy. Love has trust. When you trust, you don't get jealous.
Good answer. So basically, if you're being envious, you're not loving. So good one, Uncle Jesse. All right, next question. Can you love someone without showing it? Can you love someone without showing it?
I think you can. The example that I gave earlier about, you know, your coworkers, you know, not wishing bad on your coworkers. So just a quick story. Had this coworker who I did not like, just did not like. And long story short, he got fired. He got fired. And I just felt so much compassion for him. You know, he had a family, he lost his job, he thought he was all of that in a bag of chips, and when you get fired, it's just the opposite. And so did I show that to him? He didn't know I felt that way. He didn't know I was feeling sorry for him. He didn't know I didn't wish any harm on him. So, yeah, I think you can. You can in that situation.
I think also I was just thinking when I was walking over there, you can, I don't know, I didn't actually hear what you said because I was checking on my kid, but, you know, you could be praying for people and they would have no idea. And that's one way you can love them is by praying for them, lifting them up, caring about them, choosing to be prayerful about what's going on in their lives, and they would never know it. So I think absolutely you can love people without showing it. But on the other end, if you're like totally ignoring people around you and being kind of mean, you're not definitely showing that you love them, well, then you're not really loving them either. So there's a balance with that, you know. But it is possible. Next question. Why should we show our love? Why should we show love? Yeah, I think that, good.
Just the verse that comes to me, it says that in the Bible, it says that people will know that you are Christians by your love. So, you know, it's not by your gifts or, you know, how long you pray or whatever. It's really the true mark of a Christian is love. And that's showing love, right? Being friendly, smiling, hi, you know, just being loving. And so, and that love obviously comes from God, right? God showed us his love first. We need to show people love. And that's how people will know that you're Christians. Like, you don't even have to talk. You know, if you're loving to someone, they're going to know something's different about you, right?
Let me flip it for you. I can show you that I love you by getting on you. I care so much about you that I call you out when I see you doing something wrong. And it's not because I'm trying to discipline you or make you into something you're not. I'm calling you out because I do love you. And when you love somebody, you care about them. And you care about them, which means you watching their back. Which means when they getting ready to go in the wrong direction and you know they're going in the wrong direction, you need to correct them and say, hey, whoa, that's not cool. Mm-hmm. Okay? So love can be shown in that way too. And God shows us that love. He says those that he love, he disciplines. It is biblical that we correct you and show you what real love is, that we care about you. Sometime we have to correct you. Just as much as we go, we pump you up. I'm proud of you. Go do that. Da, 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 da. If I see you doing something wrong, I'm going to call you out too. If I see you in the mall and I creep up on you, I'm like, hello. Because I care about you. It's because I really love you.
All right. Next question, Charles. What is love supposed to be when you feel it towards someone? What is it supposed to be? Okay, so basically they're asking, when we feel love towards someone, what does that feel like, I guess, is the question. Or what is that supposed to be like when we feel love? And we kind of talked about this a little bit. What is it supposed to be? Well, you know, these are really vague questions, but I think the thing to remember is, like I said, I'm going to keep coming back to this, is that love isn't a feeling, right? You know, choosing a spouse or choosing someone, to whether or not you love someone or not, is less about how you feel and more about really thinking and praying, is this the right person for me moving forward? Is this somebody that God is going to use in my life to further my calling to advance his kingdom, right? And I know that sounds like super spiritual, but I guarantee you, if you use any other method for choosing a wife, your marriage is going to be really hard. I know a lot of people who have chose, and I know I'm talking about marriage right now, but let me tell you guys, we have two people here who met when they were 17. There's a chance that the people you get into a relationship with right now can and will be your spouse. And so even now, you know, we need to start preparing ourselves for that, right? And so understanding that you're not just looking for somebody that, oh, you love, you know, you have these feelings for. You're looking for somebody that's going to be a good match for you moving forward. And we'll talk about that more on another topic. We have another topic where we'll talk about dating. Any more questions, Charles? No, Jesse, you want to say one thing?
How are you supposed to feel? You're not supposed to lose your mind. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. Because you might think you're in love with somebody, everything else becomes secondary. No. When you think you're in love with somebody and when you think that they love you back, what you're supposed to feel is that they sacrifice themselves for you and you sacrifice yourself for them, which means I might want to be with you. I really want to be with you, but you need to go do your homework. You need to study for your test. You need to take care of your business so we can be together. Y'all feel what I'm saying? It's not just I want to be with you all the time, and nothing else matters. You don't lose your mind. It's very under control, and it says, I care about you so much, I'm going to sacrifice being with you because I want you to take care of what you need to take care of. That's what you're supposed to feel, okay?
All right, that's it. Any of you guys have any last things you guys want to say? Pally, any closing remarks before we dismiss?
Thank you.
Thank you. Babe, you want to say anything? No? All right, you guys, let's give our panel a hand. You guys go ahead. I want to encourage you guys next week. We got three more topics, and they're three good ones, so come on out and continue to ask great questions. Thank you guys for asking some good questions. I am going to close us in prayer, and then I hope you guys all have a great week. Lord, we just come before you and we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and to learn what it means to love each other, to love you, Lord, in a way that's honoring to you in truth, understanding truly how have you defined love, God, and what is love all about. Lord, I just pray for those who are struggling with relationships and understanding love even right now, Lord, that you would come in, you would give them wisdom and direction as to how to make decisions about situations and relationships. I pray for those who are struggling with their relationship with mom and dad, Lord. Those who are in here who realize right now that they have not been choosing to love their mom or their dad despite some things that may have gone wrong. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd begin to work in families and relationships, sons and mothers and fathers and daughters and siblings, Lord, and bring them together and help us all begin to choose to love even though we don't feel like it. And to be able to demonstrate that same love that you demonstrated to us on the cross, Lord, when you chose to love us, even though you didn't feel like it, even though we have offended you first, Lord, you still are reaching out, choosing to love us, Lord, and have chosen to love us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We just pray for everybody who's in school right now, Lord. Continue to give strength and just keep us safe, Lord. Continue to help us with school and athletics and all those things that we're involved with right now, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.